Welcome to the Lost Map Podcast.
A steady state. No acceleration. See that cliff? Wouldn't you like to slow the car down? See how the road rushes up to meet us. This is restraint we all understand. A lasso back from the edge. Slow down. There's a great funnel in the sky that sucks up nature and time, and they call it enterprise. A steady state. Restraint we all understand. A lasso back from the edge. A slow down from compounded interest. There is a great funnel in the sky. Sucks up nature and time, and they call it enterprise.
Can you hear that little tinkle there? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the tinkle of ice in a glass being rattled around, swilled around by Laura Doherty, who is just taking a big slug of her drink.
I did just write at the time that I suppose I had to say my name. No, I didn't. You said my name. I had to say hi. Hi! I'm flustered.
And I'm Pictish Trail. Welcome to the Lost Map Podcast. Episode 4 of Series 6, but who's counting? You just heard at the top of the show Victoria Hume with a track called Steady State. It's the opening track from her recent album Radical Abundance. And let me tell you, Laura, we do not have a radical abundance of copies of that album left. We've sold a lot of them.
Is there still some left in the...
Shall I check the web shop just now, just to see?
Yeah, Kate's live checking.
I'm going to check. Our Bandcamp's probably the most reliable thing because Kate updates that the most. Yeah, you should buy Victoria Hume's record really soon if you want a copy, because we don't have many left. I mean, we could make more, I suppose.
We could, but is that within the ethos of the album?
I mean,
you have to buy it and then you decide.
Well, this is it. The album is sort of about looking at what's beyond capitalism, what's next, yeah. What happens after capitalism. And if what happens after capitalism is just more capitalism.
More capitalism. I mean, she posed the question. Maybe we can answer by creating a massive demand, like a supply demand. So then actually your copy of Radical Abundance could be worth loads. Or do we, you know, flood the market? Is that how capital works? I don't really know.
I think that is how capitalism works.
Flood it.
I can say that with some authority because I'm up to date on all episodes of the current series of The Apprentice. And the supply-demand element is quite a big feature of one of the tasks, and it's not been one of the tasks of this your series so far. Is anyone else watching The Apprentice?
I watched one episode. Were they making cheesecake? Is that right?
Oh, there was some cheesecakeage. Yeah, that was quite early on. There's some absolute idiots on it. I mean, I'm glad I'm talking about it now, because the fact that I'm talking about it now means I can't possibly include it as one of my recommendations at the end of the show, which, I'll be honest, I'm scraping the barrel already. So because I've mentioned it already, I can't mention it later on now. What are you clinking away at?
Alcohol-free, kind of Campari type thing from Lidl. From Lidl.
Does alcohol-free mean you have to just put more ice cubes in it? Give it a little jingle jangle again. Very nice. I was going to do an impression of a disgraced DJ then.
I wouldn't recommend that. That will
the
not recommendations be coming up in the...
Is at the end of the show. It's always at the end of the show. But yes, I certainly recommend to you that you purchase a copy of Victoria Hume's Radical Abundance on CD with an accompanying zine. It's got some fucking lyrics in it. Don't know why I had to swear. Hope Joe beats that one out. If you want to see Victoria Hume in person, you can go to her house. She lives in Musselburgh and her address is... I actually don't have it to hand. Do you know, you're probably better off going to see her perform live, and she will be doing so on Record Store Day, which is the 20th of April. I think she's performing as part of Vox Box in Edinburgh, in Stockbridge in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Vox Box is a record shop.
They're kind of annual takeover of like the St. Stephen's Street area, I guess the street, where they take over a couple of pubs over there and the record store itself and have some live shows peppered throughout the day and into the evening.
Oh, it looks really wholesome. I've missed out on Record Store Day over the last quite a number of years now, just because it kind of usually falls during lambing season. So I'm stuck here looking after the children on the island of Eig, where we farm children and lamb them regularly. I don't know if Voxbox have actually unveiled what their Record Store Day lineup is, in which case we just spoiled it. And we cannot confirm whether there'll be another Lost Map act playing at that. Although I've just got a text from Kate saying that she thinks Kinbo are playing. So I've just spoiled that. So there we go. It's a spoiler, but it's up to the minute news. You're getting it fresh. That's just me looking at my WhatsApp just then and getting that news in. So you're welcome,
Hot
guys.
Hot cross goss.
Hot cross goss. Very nice. Very sort of Easter
there
themed.
You go. Little Easter Monday bit of content there.
Of course, it's Easter Monday, isn't it?
And we're full of eggs.
Oh.
Campari, fake Campari.
Jesus is alive and well. Probably a bit of a hangover on Easter Monday, I would imagine. The old Jesus.
Oh, man. What a day. Just like... blood everywhere.
Yeah, probably off shopping for a new pair of gloves. Don't know if the shops are open on Easter Monday. Is it a bank holiday?
Yep.
No gloves for you, Jesus. Sorry.
Rolling a stone all the way up the hill to the St. James Centre, realising it's shut. Oh, God. All the way back down. At least going back down the hill is easier with a big stone. I don't know why I imagine that he lives in Leith.
You're listening to the Lost Map Catholic Podcast. We've not released much religious music, have we, on Lost Map? In fact,
yet.
I'm struggling to think of anything that's vaguely religious. I can think of a few things that are quite sacrilegious.
I mean, quite a few members of the Catholic clan, we do occasionally sing hymns when we get together, don't we? One of our secret drunk Catholic behaviours.
I think we mostly sing that song about the mayor of Acton. I'm not sure if that's in any... I'm not sure if that's in any hymnals.
He could even buy a hymnal.
Very nice. Little callback there.
That's
to series four.
A real niche throwback. But if you got it, listen, you're one of our valued listeners.
Please don't leave us. Please never leave us.
Speaking of valued listeners.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some nice podcast compliments at the Pictish Trail gig at the Cricket Club.
Oh, yeah. I was playing at Leith Cricket Club on Saturday. An evening with Pictish Trail. And who's manning the door? It was a special guest. It was Laura Doherty doing the ticket list.
Do you know what? I have to apologise, because it's amazing how many people I have been going to gigs with and like chatting to for years and years and have no idea what their surname is, which is a real problem when it's alphabetized by surname. And I'll be like, hey, first name. And I'll be like, the embarrassing moment of being like, what's your last name? I don't know if I've ever known. So
when I put together the ticket list in future and you're manning the desk, I should just make sure that I alphabetize it by first name, not second name.
Yeah, why not?
Because that would be a cheat sheet. That would be an amazing surname cheat sheet then. You'd know the first name.
Yeah. It would be like I'm in high school and just like last name in everyone.
Alphabetizing by first name, particularly at Pictish Trail gigs, would be quite tricky because there is a considerable number of Ians.
All the Ians?
So many Ians. So many different variations of Ian as well.
The E-I-N? I-E-I-N?
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 There's no one from Newcastle, if that's what you're... That's what you're trying to infer. Maybe there was a few Geordies there. Ian? Ian? If you came along to an evening with Pictish Trail, I thank you. Ian? a big thank you to all the Ians that came. Yeah, it was a really lovely night, that. The Leith Cricket Club. Brilliant place. Really great, great venue. And I had a lovely time. In fact, so much of a lovely time, I'm doing another one. And that sold out on the 31st of May. And I've also just announced yet another one. It's the third.
Another one?
The third in a series called Yet Another Evening with Pictish Trails. Happening on the 4th, Friday the 4th of October, 2024. Going to be doing that one with another different lineup. The first one was solo. The second show is going to be with a full band.
Classic Pictish.
The classic Pictish lineup. And then this third one in October, 4th of October, is going to feature 2024 is going to feature my good friends Simei Wu on cello, Gillian Fleetwood on harp, and everyone's favourite Susan Baer on keys and bass guitar, and then me just pissing about on my guitar and pretending to know how to use my sampler. I'm really looking forward to it. A little sneaky spoiler for you: I've been recording a new EP on which all of those musicians feature.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes, I've done an EP. It's got a harp on it. And it's also got some cello and keys and bass. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more about that other than there'll be some music coming out over the summer, I believe. And not only am I doing that show at Leith Cricket Club on the 4th of October 2024, but I'm also going to be doing a series of shows with that same lineup across the UK, Daddy. The first of which is... a show, sorry, I can't help myself. I have to go into some stupid accent every 5 seconds whilst I try to remember what live dates I'm doing. So I'll be doing a series of shows with that quartet. We're playing at Green Man Festival in August, and then we're doing a series of shows at the end of September. We're playing in Leeds on the 25th of September. We're playing in Oxford at Common Ground on the 26th of September. We're playing in Brighton on the 27th of September. And on my birthday, the 28th of September, we're playing in London at King's Place.
Buckingham Palace?
It's not King's actually... Place? No, King's Place is an actual arts venue. It's not literally the King's Place.
Oh, okay.
But if it was Buckingham Palace...
just burn it down.
I would fucking burn it down. Can you get arrested for that?
We should probably bleep that out. Have a lovely time. Say hello to Charles.
Is that a threat if I say that I'm going to burn down the... Buckingham Palace. I'm not even playing there. So I won't do that. I'm not going to, they won't let
me in. You have an alibi. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But I tell you what, that probably, if you're a royalist, I definitely wouldn't come to the show at King's Place because I will be referring to my hatred of all things royal during that show.
Sometimes like some of the, you know, you get the royal stamp on like Weetabix and stuff. Sometimes I'm like, fair play, mate.
Hold on. You get the royal stamp on Weetabix, like on an actual Weetabix.
Ah, you know how, you know,
is this like when you see Jesus on a bit of toast?
Sometimes when you get food, it's got like a sort of like stamp of approval because the royals eat it. And like Weetabix, I think, is one of them. And like...
oh, what, on the box?
You know, maybe like baked beans. Yeah.
Oh, right.
So sometimes I look at it and I go, aye, fair play. No, Weetabix is good.
Fair dues. Yeah, I've not seen the royal stamp of approval on any of the food I'm eating, which at the moment is mostly Ramona's hummus. Shit, that's another one of my recommendations down the drain.
Recommendation.
Anyway, yeah, if you want to come to any of those live shows, it feels like they're months and months and months away, but I really like having ticket updates from each of the promoters quite regularly, and my heart sinks when the numbers stagnate. So please buy your tickets right now.
If your name's Ian, make your way to the nearest venue.
This is a call to action to all Ians out there. That'd be an interesting thing to do, wouldn't it? To do like a series of gigs where you're only allowed to get in if you've got a specific name. Or maybe you get a discount if your name, if you like have a specific... I mean, I might do this.
Yeah, a bit of a little Ian treat.
I mean, I would clean up with the Ians. I'd make a load of money on Ians.
Charge them double, actually. We need less of them.
There's an Ian tax. That's a great idea. Sorry, Ians.
Is your name Ian? Pay double.
Unless, of course, you use your Postmap Club discount.
Use your...
Yeah, here we go.
Use your what?
Unless you use your Postmap Club discount, Ian.
I understand what a discount is, but a Postmap Club discount? What the fuck is Postmap Club?
Fuck the king. Postmap Club, Postmap Club, Postmap Club, it's a very nice club. Early in the morning, just as day is dawning, Victor's trail is talking loads of shite. Okay, so Postmap Club is something we talk about every single month. And if you're new to this podcast, congratulations, you're going to get the full spiel now. Okay, you maybe won't get the full spiel. Over the last couple of years, we've gone in deep in this section, right?
Yeah.
You've honed a script. You've really...
I honed a script. But then now we've kind of just gone off script. You know, we're just kind of vibing. We're doing a bit of improv.
Yes, and?
Other things that we've been expressing.
Postmap Club is our membership club. And you can become a member of Lost Map. Not a recording artist. We've got plenty of those. But someone who financially supports the running of the label and supports the music that's being made. We send out postcards every month to our members, usually three postcards, sometimes two if we're being lazy. And each postcard contains a bit of artwork from the artist, and on the other side is a download code for brand new music from said artist. And it can be a mixture of singles from forthcoming albums, exclusive tracks like remixes or B-sides or acoustic versions of things. We've been having our artists do live sessions, filming live sessions. And we've also asked our acts to provide Mixcloud mixes. It's just a really a great outlet for different types of music that we want to release on the label. And some of it is pop singles and some of it is half an hour long drones. We've actually kept the half hour long drones for ourselves. We've not released them yet, but my God, they're coming.
I mean, in some ways, this podcast is an hour long drone. So if you've made it this far, then you have obviously shown your desire to have more drone in your life. So if you become a member, maybe we'll release those in the future. Who knows what we'll do next? But you help us to be able to fund our artists to take chances and do that through the club. So you can join from just £3 a month. There's also different tiers. You can pay £5 or £10. Mm-hmm. You can get the physical postcards through your door, or you can become a digital member as well. There's a digital membership if you prefer that, I guess.
You just like receiving emails.
Yeah, who doesn't?
All subscribers receive an email on the first day of every month containing download codes for the music that we're releasing that month, as well as a discount code which gets them 15% off anything on our web shop and 10% off anything in our Bandcamp. And yeah, we were having a chat earlier on about the Bandcamp stuff, because Bandcamp just did a massive article on Lost Map.
They love us.
The other day. Yeah, it's really great. A big feature. We'll get into that in a wee second. But yeah, should you like to join Postmap Club, you should go to lostmap.com/club.
Club.
No, just club. Not lostmap.com/club.
Lostmap.com/club.
Club. Oh no, not club. Club. Done it again. Oh, you'll find it. Maybe, in fact, I'll just set a redirect. lostmap.com/club. And that'll go to lostmap.com/club. So yeah, we were just chatting about Bandcamp there, and they did a huge overview of the last 10 years, well, 10 and a half years, of Lost Map Records. And yeah, included some of the seminal releases that we've been part of over that time, including a really beautiful write-up of the album Alter by Susan Bear. We released her album Alter back in 2022, way back in 2022, which Bandcamp Daily have, in this article, hailed as one of the most perfect bedroom pop albums ever created. I mean, that is for a site that's kind of made its name on releasing bedroom pop, that
bedroom
is
pop, yeah,
quite the statement.
High praise indeed, isn't it?
It is high praise indeed. And well deserved. Susan Bair is an absolute genius as far as I'm concerned. And she's made a brand new record called Algorithmic Mood Music, which is coming out on June 28th on LP. I think I might be doing a CD version of it as well, but it's coming out on LP, which is vinyl. I don't know why I'm doing these voices again. I'm not even drunk. Yeah. I'm not even drunk this month. No excuse. We've released a few tracks from Susan Bair in recent months that have been taken from this album, and this month is no exception. There's a brand new single which is coming out as a postcard as part of our Postmap Club, our aforementioned Postmap Club. And this is a brand new single from the album. It's called Drift. It's a bedroom pop meets drum and bass workout. Enjoy this little clip of Drift.
Listening to a little bit of Drift by Susan Bair. The postcard this month comes with a remix from electronic artist Shears. It has been taken from the forthcoming album Algorithmic
Yes.
The forthcoming album Algorithmic. Oh, how can I say that?
It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Is it a Scottish thing like purple burglar alarm? Purple burglar alarm.
Algorithmic mode music. No, algorithmic. I can't.
I liked how you tried it in an Irish accent there. Just algorithmic mode music.
Algorithmic mood. It's coming from our forthcoming album out the 28th of June. Algorithmic mood music, which you can pre-order now on the. It's close enough.
That's enough. Yeah.
On the Lost Map website, and there will also be a album launch, which we can't quite announce yet, but it'll be in the first week of July in Glasgow. So we will keep you updated on details as they are announced.
Nah, we won't. We won't keep you up in details. You just have to look them out yourself. I mean, we're not gonna phone up each and every single listener. Oh, by the way, do you know that thing we mentioned that's happening on this day?
I will. I'd do that. I'd email all the Ians. It'd take me all day, but I'd do it.
It would. There's so many Ians. If you're an Ian, hi. Yeah, remember, you can use your Postmap Club discount 15% off if you pre-order from the Lost Map website using said discount. You can only use that discount if you're a Postmap Club member. Also available to pre-order is a brand new album from Afterlands, which is called We Are the Creatures. No, sorry, We Are the Animals in the Night. I keep wanting to say We Are the Creatures in the Night whenever I say their album, and I'm saying it wrong.
We are the creatures of the night.
The night. Oh, yeah. But it's actually called We Are the Animals in the Night.
Animals of the Night.
We Are the Animals in the Night. One of the animals from that album is a whale, and there's a song called Whale Song. It's the second track from that album, and it's this month's postcard from Afterlands, who, by the way, supported at the show we just did the other week,
they did.
An Evening with Pictish Trail. And I noticed that lead singer Rick Redbeard pronounced the band Afterlands.
I noticed that too.
And I didn't know if that was... Afterlands. I'm almost positive that I've referred to them as Afterlands in a previous podcast.
Oh, you definitely have. Yeah.
So I wonder if it was a nod to me saying Afterlands, or if it is genuinely Afterlands.
Afterlands. Because that's what I picked. I was like, oh, it is Afterlands. Because you would think Afterlands.
It can't seriously be Afterlands. Can it? Afterlands.
Afterlands.
Algorithmic Afterlands music. Anyway, here's a clip of Whale Song by Afterlands featuring the sonorous tones of Jill Lorien. Have a listen. You'll hear her. You'll hear her. She's in there.
Red light shining on a window pane.
Red light shining on a window pane.
Red light shining on a window pane.
Red light shining on a window
All
pane.
I know is baby fire won't light. All I know is baby fire won't light by itself. Story to a stolen tune as we went walking neath the golden moon. All I know is baby fire won't light. All I know is darling fire won't light by itself.
That was a clip of Whale Song by Afterlands featuring Jill Lorien. Quite excited to announce that Afterlands will be supporting Pictish Trail at the show I'm doing on the 28th of September, my birthday, at King's Place in London. I'm actually looking forward to going to King's Place. Nothing against King's Place, just the King, okay? And for any avoidance of doubt, fuck the King. Now, are you allowed to say that about a man who's got a terminal illness? Probably not. It's not terminal, is it? Is it terminal?
I mean, everything's terminal. We're going to die, Johnny, but...
That's the spirit. There we go. So that's all the news I've got for you about Afterlands. The third and final postcard in this month's Postmap Club mailout is by Sulca. It's a track taken from the current album Distractions called Ain't So, and it comes accompanied with a bloomin' live session, a video live session of the band performing songs such as Ain't So and Skyline, but live. And Postmap Club members will receive the postcard, which will have a little code which will give them access to the Lost Map portal. Or is it the Postmap portal? I don't know who decides which is which. But the Postmap portal is an area where you can watch live sessions that we've got from our archive. We've recently re-released one from Courtney Marie Andrews. We did one at the start of the year with Martha Fionn. Oh, so many sessions. I mean, there's also a whole bunch of Mixcloud mixes up there that are exclusive for Postmap Club members. For just now, would you like to listen to a little audio clip of one of the live sessions that Sulca did, Laura?
Oh, go on then.
I was going to do a whole bit about, because the track's called Ain't So, and I was going to get you to say Ain't So, and I was going to say Ain't So.
Say Ain't So.
Ain't So.
Ain't So.
This is Ain't So, live by Sulca.
Cracks in your hands, rings them tight, they stay loyal. Rub your eyes, tell me this ain't so. Rub your eyes, tell me this ain't so. Rub your eyes, tell me this ain't your home, sweet home.
Thank you.
That was a clip of a live version of Ain't So by Sulka.
It ain't so.
I won't say it ain't so. It is so. It is ain't. Oh no, it is ain't so. I will say it ain't so. So. Yeah. Good. I'm glad we cleared that bit up. That is taken from the postcard that's out this month as part of Postmap Club. If you have enjoyed the music you've heard so far, then you should just join Postmap Club. Jesus, please.
Get on the portal. Watch the full session.
Watch the full session. There's also an interview conducted by our very own Bartholomew Owl, which is included as part of that session.
What will they be asking? Bart's always asking very deep questions.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What could it be? He's always looking right into your soul.
Yeah, usually he only asks those questions of himself, but now he's asking them of Salka, and you won't believe what happens next. That's the sort of clickbaity thing we should be saying, isn't it?
Oh, you'll never believe what Bart asked Salka in the interview in the portal.
You just won't believe it.
Only Postmap Club members know the real truth. Oh my God, should we go all like conspiracy, do you think, behind the paywall and be like, well, you know...
Oh yeah, that's quite good. Or just even some sort of tension. But what you think, we should reveal our conspiracy theories in the Postmap portal?
Why not?
Well, I mean, there's...
I have a theory that behind the portal, everyone's talking about the Illuminati, you know? But I guess only Postmap Club members would know.
Do you like saying Illuminati? Because is that one of the lyrics in Madonna's American Life rap?
I don't think the Illuminati was a thing when that came out, was it?
Oh no!
I like my Illuminati. I get a double shotte. I like a mocha latte. That's not Illuminati. Right.
I thought she was
unless
talking
there's a mocha latte Illuminati, and she gets a double shotte of the Illuminati.
I get a double shotte. Oh my God! I'm
in the Illuminati.
Go and do the rap. Do it.
I haven't done it in quite a while. Don't ruin my recommendation. My recommendation is listening to the rap from Madonna's American Life on repeat and then singing it at your friends when they least expect it. Actually, my friends are almost always expecting it now, to be honest.
It's one of the worst things of all music. Like, just even going...
I drive a
that.
Mini Cooper and I'm feeling super duper. Yeah, they call me Emma Trooper and you know I'm satisfied. I do yoga and Pilates and the room is full of hotties and I'm checking out their bodies and you know I'm satisfied.
It's so bad. So bad, Madonna.
She is actually a Postmap Club member, so sorry for that. Your Majesty.
Okay, moving.
The good kind. She's Catholic. I'm your Queen of Scots.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, where were we?
That was the end of our Postmap Club plugging.
Postmap plug.
Well done for making it through that whole section. Moving on to this month's featured interview. It's with our good friend Matt Gibb, a.k.a. Kinboat, a.k.a.
Kimbote.
Another play from Deb Grant on the fantastic introducing show on BBC Six Music, where she introduced his track and indeed him as an artist as Kimbote.
Kimbote. I like it.
I like it. It's quite swish.
It sounds like, no offence to the actual pronunciation, Kinboat, but Kinbote. It's got a bit of intrigue. It's got a bit of, exuberance. Thanks, yeah. Deb.
Kinbotato. Could that be a type of Irish crisp?
Yeah, why not? A little Matt Gibb-shaped potato treat. Kinbotato.
Sadly, that isn't how Kinbote's brand new album is available. It's not available as a packet of Kinbotato crisps. It's available instead as a zine with a compact disc inside.
Yum yum.
Kinbote's brand new album is called Hemisphere and it's his sophomore album, his second album. That's what sophomore means, following 2020's Shifting Distance. And we got in touch with Matt and asked him to talk us through the making of Hemisphere and indeed his career, his life in music, which he's done.
Well, tell us, Matt. Tell us.
Tell us, Kinbote. And he does. And you're going to hear it right now. Here's Kinbote talking through the making of Hemisphere.
Don't Hello, my name is Kim Boat. I'm in the south side of Glasgow, and today I've been at work, but now I'm sipping a nice cold beer at my desk at home. So the beginnings of Kin Boat as a project was when I was at uni and I was just making music on GarageBand, kind of just using the built-in microphone. And I just made a bunch of songs, slowly released a few as like EPs. And at the same time, I was part of a kind of arts collective that put on basically like poetry slams and like events at uni. So I collaborated with my friends in there and they encouraged me eventually to sort of pull it all together to make it into like a proper thing. That's when I started trying to think of a name, which took like a long time. I had like a long list of names. I eventually landed on Kin Boat. It's the name of the protagonist of Pale Fire, which is a Nabokov book. So at that point, I had sort of made an album and I made the whole album, still not quite knowing what I wanted to do with it or what I was going to call the project. I sent it to Lost Map and amazingly, they liked it. So then we released that album. Before Kimbo, I was in a series of sort of high school bands with kind of unfortunate names. I was in a band called Bass Rock, which I think was a good name when I was like 14. And the next band was called Dawn Rockets, which sort of sounds like a loose euphemism, but I guess we didn't realize at the time. And then finally, we were in a band called Bedroom Athlete. I don't know what we were thinking, really. But I have honestly found being in a band quite frustrating because you have to write a song and then teach it to the band, and they're not paying attention or they don't do what you'd imagined. So actually discovering the DAW and drum programming and just making everything exactly how I wanted it was kind of a revelation, because at that point you can just see a sort of like something from conception to creation without anything limiting you.
And the white liquid running down your wrist is the cold summer road. Every day is a race just to own up, because the sludge on the 5G is threatening to swallow us both up. A pomegranate stolen from co-op, glass sandwich froze on arrival, a desk with a motor to rise up, bright green algae in my cup. There's always a reason to hanging on the coast on the season. Cold brew, water bottle hanging from your wrist made of bamboo. Walking the bypass made me brand new. 3D scans of the face of God like home life.
So for the new album, I was just sort of continuing to make musical sketches as the first album was releasing. And I started to just record things with more like intention. Like I would go out with a Zoom recorder, Zoom H5, with a little sort of stereo array mic, and just record things like soundscapes or specific sounds that I thought would be interesting or could make interesting textures. So for instance, at that time, I recorded things like wind chimes and the sound of rain falling on a snare drum. That's in the album. And also just like I would go on a walk and record like anything that sounded interesting to me on the walk, and then kind of bring that all together to make a sort of soundscape that the song would emerge out of. And this led to a sort of quite intense period of making a lot of songs, and it got to the point where I had about sort of 17 songs, and I was like, okay, well, this could be the album. And maybe a third of those were instrumental tracks, and there's a few instrumentals on Shifting Distance. So I thought I'd do the same thing with instrumental interludes. But then I don't know, when I listened to it back, it just was too much. Like, there was too much going on. It was too long. And the instrumental tracks, I think they just really would have pulled you out of it. And then lyrically, I was trying to focus down on sort of a theme at a certain point, which was about like international trade and travel. I think it was because the pandemic was making me think about how international trade routes are so important to everybody's lives, especially the things you sort of consume. And things like that ship getting stuck in the Suez Canal, disrupting things, and just general supply chain issues. I just thought that was an interesting theme. So I tried to sort of bring that out in some of the songs. And then I also kind of did songs in character. So there's some songs which clearly are not sung from the perspective of me as a person. There's one song on the album called Daily Vlogger, which is about the obsessed fan of a daily vlogger. And I was trying to examine kind of like parasocial online relationships by singing from the perspective of the sort of obsessed fan and then the vlogger himself and going back and forth. And then there are some songs which are more personal, just about how I was feeling at the time about things like getting a job and being in a long distance relationship. So then it all sort of coalesced. I got somebody to mix about half the songs on the album for the first time, which I've never done that before. And that was kind of an illuminating process, mostly just learning all the things that I do wrong when I mix and watching a professional do it. It was very illuminating. So the first track in the album is called Rotate, and it was the first single. The idea from this song came from living in Copenhagen, where everybody cycles everywhere. Often you cycle drunk, and I can't remember if this actually exists or I made it up, but like the idea of a pub crawl where you all cycle from pub to pub is an interesting one, you know, because you just get more and more inebriated and you're more likely to crash. And I thought it was maybe a good way to frame this story idea I had about a couple who are basically having a kind of relationship ending argument during this pub crawl. And that's the lyrics are actually their argument.
It ends in tears, and you know why. You're always on your phone outside. You laugh too loud and never smile. You haven't bought around in a while. Around the table, glance at your bake cable. Your glance is like the sea.
Track number 5 is called Thousand Smiles. I think I was thinking about like surveillance at this point, as in if you were a surveillance camera, you'd see 1,000 smiles an hour, or maybe like every 15 minutes, depending on where you are. And it follows this story of a guy who's in witness protection and just very paranoid about surveillance, traveling around Europe trying to evade his former criminal collaborators. Then we've got Ono Second straight after that. That's track 6. An Ono Second is the second after which you realize you've done something really bad that you can't reverse. You say you accidentally deleted your thesis or something. You have an oh no second. So this was kind of about saying something that was wrong and then having an oh no second. And the samples here of the guy speaking, that's an old BBC interview with Fellini, the director Fellini, where he talks about doing acid. And I don't know, sort of says like a bunch of nothing really, but I thought there was a sort of musicality to what he was saying in that, and so it features quite heavily as a sample in this track.
Always open. This kind of door. Always open.
Never meant to make you cry in the summertime. Never meant to make you cry at the sunny time. Never meant to make you sad in any season. Never meant to make myself the reason. Trading bows like we're supposed to, it's become a bore. This isn't fun anymore. In throes of supposition, it's become a bore.
Persephone, this is really about a long distance relationship and having to communicate through video calls with like bad internet, which obviously sort of crushes and stretches out the sound of you speaking as you're trying to talk to somebody. So I tried to do that with this. I mean, the beginning is just an old voice note of me doing a sort of guitar riff that I've kind of stretched out to fit a different beat, and then that sort of forms the basis of the song.
Now,
music and noise.
223. 17 times 19.
Now, music and noise.
223.
Beating the woods at the back of your parents' house to drive the birds away. Was I misunderstood through a digital doorway?
17 times 19.
Way. Now, music and noise.
223. 17 times.
The last song on the album is called Drift, and it's sort of a two-section song, like a couple of the other ones are. This is sort of trying to pull together the themes of the album through this metaphor of the manufacture of those metal signs that you might see in your mum's kitchen wall, which they say things like, never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life, or some kind of like saying or aphorism. And going into like how those are made, obviously they're like, I guess, made across the world and then shipped over, and then you buy it on Amazon and it arrives at your house, and you don't really think about that as a process, just in the same way as you don't really think about what it's saying. It just sort of blends into the background and your eyes sort of slide off it. It stops really becoming like words. This song is largely made out of the same sort of old Yamaha keyboard that I made a lot of Shifting Distance on. And to be honest, not much of Hemisphere on. It's just that for this particular song, paired with a delay pedal, actually, and it created a kind of oppressive atmosphere that I thought was good for the end of the album. I do like when albums end on a sort of slightly theatrical or gloomy note.
The manufacture's simple when you get down to it. Assembly is portioned out and atomized. You'd never know the true size of these signs. As letters alphabeticized and costed rise from sheets of metal hit hard with tiny mallets on the farthest north tip of the machines managed. By the same code that just told the engines on a ship to leave its fetters grinding far below the many souls of EasyJet, who all know at some level all the costs not like a machine does, with a frequency not far from forest telling itself that the rain is coming. The rain is coming, lie down and get ready.
The album comes out on the 12th of April, and we've got a launch for it in Glasgow lined up. It's going to be at the Glad Cafe on the 14th, so that's Sunday night. And it's going to be the launch of the album where I play the whole thing live, but it's also going to be the launch of the sort of visual element, which has been coming through on the music videos so far, but is an actual full piece, basically a short film that accompanies the album and continues a sort of a storyline that is told through 10 different music videos made by a few different directors and visual artists that I've roped in. So it will be a sort of AV, live AV experience. So I'm really excited about that. And we've also got the amazing Isa Gordon on support and Slide Cancel, who does his own kind of really cool live AV show. And they're both amazing. And I think the whole thing is going to mesh quite well. And yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Stopped being fun right after he arrived. Running up and down the hill and making echoes. Oh well, we'll survive.
Always open.
Thinking, oh well, we'll survive.
Thank you. make myself the reason this isn't fun anymore. This isn't fun anymore.
Thank you to Kim Boats for doing that interview there and for introducing us into the world of Hemisphere. You know, we're satisfied. The track there was Oh No Second, which is taken from Hemisphere, which is available to pre-order now, but it's actually coming out on the 12th of April. Very soon.
So soon. Finally. It's come around. April's here.
April Fools. It's not coming out at all.
Oh, we really missed a trick. At least everyone's listening afternoon anyway. That's fine.
Yeah, you're all listening in the afternoon, right? You're not listening first thing in the morning when this actually comes out, are you? You listen to this first thing in the morning?
No. Yes.
Kimbo is playing an album launch on Sunday the 14th of April at the Glad Cafe.
In Glasgow. There's going to be a real visual accompaniment for videos for each of the tracks, as you heard as well. So that'll be real nice there.
Yeah, it's going to be so cool. What an ambitious project this album has been for Matt. So cool that it's all come together. I'll be honest, when he first told me about it, I was really skeptical. I was like, there's no way you're going to get that done. In fact, he wanted the album to come out at the end of last year. And I was like, there's no way you're going to get 10 videos done in time for the end of this year.
Were you proven?
I was right. I was absolutely right. In fact, I think he wanted it out in October last year. But video, it takes a long time. And yes, it's now coming out middle of April and worth the wait, my friends.
It's like he's our Beyonce, isn't he? Dropping a visual album.
I mean, that's about as close to Beyonce as we'll probably ever get, unless we have a country hit.
Well,
I mean, A.R. Pinewood arguably was our closest to Beyonce.
Yeah.
Bit of auto-tune in country music.
A pioneer.
An A.R. pioneer. Sorry.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, the 14th of April show, The Glad Cafe, Kimbo, supported by Isa Gordon, whose music I just got introduced to recently, really great, on Optimo, and an act called Slide Cancel. It's Matt's friend, Stuart, who is in Scissorgy Juice, I believe. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm hit. Scissorgy Juice. That was Scissorgy Juice. And now here's something from Algorithm Walls Music. I was keeping myself amused earlier on, imagining Brian Butterfield singing the song Bananas in Pyjamas. And before we started doing this podcast recording, I did a rendition to Laura.
It was beautiful.
I was having
real technical difficulties.
And pajamas. And just like tatapas. But dadas. This could get into the Madonna rap again, so I'm going to stop right there. All right, we've reached the end of the episode, and this would be the point of the episode where we normally do a recommendation. Do you have one prepared?
Do I have one prepared?
That is the voice of someone who does not have one prepared.
Well, I went to see a theatre show last month at The Traverse.
Oh, yeah.
It was called Escaped Alone, a play by Carol Churchill. And Suze Beer did the sound design for it.
Oh, yeah.
And it had, I think it's Blythe Duff, is it? I think from Taggart fame was one of
Who's
the roles.
That?
It was like amazing cast. The woman from Taggart.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like so powerful. It was 50 minutes, so great length. Mm. And it was just like an amazing cast. It was all basically, without any spoilers or anything like that, kind of like how we function in the day to day when the world is burning around us kind of thing. And it was incredible. It was really good. I hope I'm not like spoiling anything because I haven't looked this up, but I believe it will be back in Edinburgh during The Fringe. So it's called Escaped Alone and I'd highly recommend it.
What a very cultured recommendation you've got.
I'm so cultured.
A lot more cultured than I am. Do you know what? I just started listening to, I'm going to have to look up the name of it. That's not much of a recommendation if I don't know what the hell it's called. But I was really enjoying it. It is In the Jingle Jangle Jungle, and it is by Joel Guion, who's the tambourine player in the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Do you know that band?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Their documentary Dig that was made about the Brian Jonestown Massacre and the Dandy Warhols was released, I think, 20 years ago. I think there's like a 20th anniversary edition, which has like got updated footage of the bands and where they're at now and stuff. But I can't see where that's available to view online. But yeah, just been listening to the audiobook of In the Jingle Jangle Jungle by Joel Guion. And Joel's such an interesting character, because like, I've only ever seen the Brian Jonestown Massacre once, and it was at Green Man Festival, but I've watched plenty of videos of them, and I've seen that documentary, Dig, it's amazing. But yeah, his tambourine technique is like, well, let's say it's not exactly jazz. It's like, have you ever seen the Brian Jonestown Massacre play?
I don't believe so, unless it was about 20 years ago, in which case.
You should definitely check out Dig, because it's like such a funny rockumentary. It's about the rivalry between Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre, and just all the sort of various antics that the bands get up to. And you have to just watch it. It's really hilarious and quite sordid in places. Quite mad.
So that's your recommendation, both Jingle Jangle Jungle and Dig.
I want to see the new Dig. I want to see this new updated one. But I'd recommend, certainly I've not finished the book yet, but I am, yeah, making my way through the audiobook at the moment, and I'm really enjoying it.
I think that halfway through the book, and we're talking about a film that you've not seen some of it yet, so that's almost a whole recommendation. Those are both partial recommendations.
Okay, don't shame my recommendation.
Sorry. I'm just so cultured. It's really difficult for me to hear a partial recommendation. No, that sounds really good. And
all right, your recommendations are better than mine, okay? Is that what you want to hear? In fact, you have already heard that, because people came up to you at an evening with Pictish Trail and said that they'd been enjoying your recent recommendation of the restaurant. Left Field, was it?
Hello, Malcolm. Thanks for listening. ask the name of the restaurant.
Oh, should I tell you what I've got that's a non-recommendation? Just to throw in, because I know I had like a half recommendation. Here's my non-recommendation.
Okay.
And my non-recommendation is, don't bother watching The Bear. The TV show The Bear.
Oh, come on.
It's just rubbish.
Come on. We've had words about this.
Do you know IRL. I mean? It's, yeah, in real life, we have. And there's definitely moments that are amazing television and really great. But like, my overall feeling after watching series two was just like, oh, what? Is that it? At its worst, it felt like watching a really boring episode of Dawson's Creek.
I mean, great tunes on it though, right?
I don't want to wait for alliance to be over. Yeah, I suppose Dawson's Creek did have a few good tunes. Oh, you meant The Bear. I mean, it's got some good tunes, and it's just got some absolute crap.
Did you not say it had one of your favourite songs ever in it?
It actually did have
Taylor
one of my
Swift's love story.
Anyway, so there you go. Do you know, I mentioned my controversial opinion on The Bear to someone.
Controversial.
When I was in Edinburgh recently, and I was at Miranta's Microsteria night chatting to my friend who works for The Skinny, and she introduced me to someone from The Skinny who was like, no, you're absolutely wrong, and you're a horrible, horrible person. They didn't actually say that, but they said it with their eyes, and that was enough for me. Well, Laura, thank you so much for your cultured recommendation, and thank you, the listener, for listening to today's episode of the Lost Map podcast. I feel we should probably thank Joe Cormack, shouldn't we?
Thanks, Joe, for turning our chat into something beautiful.
This is a little Easter weekend treat for Joe, in time for you to receive on Easter Monday. Enjoy, folks.
R.I.P. Joe. We'll see you in 3 days.
We'll close today's episode with a track from Lost Map Presents Weird Wave. This is a song called Magic Wire. We've still yet to release this album on streaming services, and I've got a feeling we never will.
Enjoy it while you can. Bye.
Bye.
erotic, a sensitive thrill. Drive your car to the edge of the water. All the stubborn and the sins to blue. All that color comes in then a fade. Comes right up, then starts moving away. One more rotation. Shifting back over tremorous sea. What we set loose and the ones that we keep. Chase the trail of that shifting water. One more pull of the fading wire.